Welcome to The Smart Life, a podcast from Beacon Agency that explores the latest in smart home and Internet of Things technology. I'm your host, Sophie, and I'm the content director here at Beacon. Each week, I'm joined by some of the biggest thought leaders in smart tech, here to unpick the challenges and opportunities faced by the industry as we endeavour to make the world of smart tech just that little bit more human.
Today, my guest is John Stephen, a seasoned professional with over two decades of experience in the home automation industry. He currently serves as the EU Installer Channel Sales Director at Tardo, a leading smart thermostat and climate control company based in Munich. Prior to this, John held several senior positions in the product sales and marketing team at British Gas Hive, where he helped drive the growth and adoption of the company's smart home products. He also worked at US brand Belkin, a leading manufacturer of consumer electronics, where he played a key role in developing and launching the company's smart home products. And all of this done by someone who tells me they never really thought of themselves as a super techie person. John Stephen, welcome to The Smart Life.
Thank you, Sophie. Thanks for having me on the podcast. It's really great to be here, and thank you for that great intro.
Oh, you're so welcome. This is quite the trail you have blazed through a relatively young industry. And yet, as I said, you started our first conversation by telling me you're not a super techie person, although I strongly suspect you were saying that to make me feel better. But instead, you think of yourself as a salesman first. So how did you first get into the smart home industry?
I've definitely underplayed that slightly when it comes to the technical aspect of it. I think if I break that down into how it plays out in my own mind, I think when I think about technical people, I think about when people have gone to a university, they've done a graduate course, or they have gone through years of an apprenticeship to really learn the ins and outs of something. Like if we think about a gas installer or an electrician, for example, I would define their roles as technical, really, really true technical. I would probably put myself into the category of, I'm a tinkerer. I like to play around with things, and I've had a background in music, music production and touring and all those kind of things. And so when it comes to playing around with technology, I love that aspect of it, right? You know, getting a new product and doing that classic thing where you open it, you've no idea how it works, you throw the manual away and you just dive in, right? That's how I would define as a tinkerer. I love technology, but when it comes to the real technical aspect of it, you know, I doff my cap to the professionals that have gone through 3 and 4 years worth of education to figure out how a product really works. So that's how I would define that in my head.
And then in terms of
like a background, I've worked in sales for almost all of my career, from first leaving school, moving into jobs where I worked at. Halfords was actually my very first job, where I used to be a bike mechanic. I would build kids' bikes over Christmas and throughout
Amazing.
The summer, people buying mountain bikes. So I always loved that touch and feel. But the sales aspect of it, for me, explaining to people, you know, the benefits of one product over another, the differences between products, that always really came through. So where I've kind of always leaned is my ability to communicate and explain products, but also the excitement of the products themselves, right? So,
yeah.
You know, whether that be a bike or smart technology, being able to explain it to customers, sell it, and really get that excitement from it. And also to close that loop out when you get feedback back from people who've bought a piece of technology, that's like the greatest of rewards, right? That's where the real buzz comes from.
Yeah. So how did you go from mountain bikes to smart home?
I actually took a slow progression through. My time at Halfords, I'd worked as just a sales assistant and working in the cycle department and really being into. I've had a long time keen love of riding bikes, and things like the early days of the Tour de France to me was quite influential in my home. So getting into the bike world seemed like a kind of natural progression. But from there, I've kind of moved through a number of different sales roles, and I've worked in the electronic field, so TVs and hi-fi systems and DVD players and all those kind of products in my kind of early years. But eventually I found myself in the energy sector, so Scottish Power, and I was working in the early days of smart metering, so the smart metering rollout, and talking to house builders about those products and the benefits of a smart meter versus a what you would class as a dumb meter. And then again, some of the emerging products that would come through in that world, things that would start to support customers with energy saving. So I don't know if you remember the early days of the first programmers that would connect to your electricity inside your house that would tell you how much energy consumption you were using. Those were really early devices that were given away by a lot of the big players in the energy space. So the likes of Scottish Power and British Gas. These were things that if you signed up to them for an energy supply, you would get these readings. And people would typically have them for a period of time, find it useful, and then eventually fall away from the usage of it. And so, you know, that was always really a kind of a place where I would explore that kind of technology. And from there, really, I got the opportunity to move from Scotland, where, you know, I was originally based, to England, and to join the Belkin team, which is, as you mentioned in the intro, a US-based technology business that had a lot of history with Apple, one of the first manufacturers really to be accredited by Apple as an official partner. And Belkin had a lot of these kind of products there, supporting the likes of your iPhone or your laptop, so maybe a cable that helps connect it to a slightly different monitor or a way to charge your phone in your car. But in later years, they also developed a product called Wemo. And Wemo was really the first ever kind of smart plugs that were out in the market that had a lot of kudos behind it. Again, Apple recognized the product and its kind of groundbreaking technology. And this was really just a smart plug, right, that you could plug any device into and ultimately control from your phone via an app. So whether you were out traveling or whether you were at home. And the most common usage of those products, that product would be lighting, you know, plugging a lamp into it, maybe plugging a television that you want to turn on and turn off when you need to, or just making sure that you're not using energy. So I was really firmly involved in that rollout into the UK. And at the time, we were talking to partners there, like Apple were really the leading player, but also Amazon and Currys and Argos and all of these kind of partners saw the benefits in those products. And so that really kind of captured my mindset, that idea of this latest technology that customers could interact with basically from anywhere. You know, the whole advent of having apps on your iPhone or your Samsung and being able to control devices inside your household really kind of really captured my mindset at the time. And then from there, that was really the roll into Hive, who were really kind of specializing in that space at the time, particularly in the heating space. And subsequently, now I found myself at Tado, who are essentially a leader in smart home, but focusing predominantly on the heating side of your property. So whether that be controlling your main boiler system or controlling rooms individually. And that's where I find myself now and working in the role that I'm in.
So I was going to ask about this because the idea of an electric device that controls your heating is something we're all very familiar with, but not many of us might have thought about a smart thermostat or even smart technology being able to support our climate control in our house. So tell us a little bit more about Tado and about the solutions that you guys offer to those issues.
Yeah, so the Tado business is essentially focused on heating and HVAC or climate control, as you mentioned yourself, inside the customer's household. And really, if you have a heating system at home, you probably have a timer which you can interact with to tell it, hey, I want to control or schedule. I want to set my heating to come on in the morning. I might want it to come on again in the evening when I'm arriving home from work. And I want to do that Monday to Friday, Monday to Sunday, whatever you decide. And the difference between that kind of product, we would call that again a dumb style thermostat, where it's just a programmer. It does nothing else. It's not connected to the internet in any way. Where Tado difference, it offers a difference here, is that we create that same range of style of products, heating controls and ventilation controls, but ultimately they are networked devices. So they are connected to your existing home network. And we developed an app to control those products. And it means that wherever you are on the planet, whether you're inside your existing house or whether you're on holiday or whether you're away working, you can control your heating device. And that means that if your day isn't quite going to plan, perhaps your train is delayed by an hour and you're stuck in, you know, you're stuck at the office or you're on the motorway and there's been an accident or, you know, the traffic is just busier than normal and you can't get home so quickly, you're able to actually use your mobile device and change your heating pattern very, very quickly within a matter of seconds, which means ultimately you save money. And when you're saving money, you're also saving the energy consumption inside your household. And that's where it really puts customers in control of their property, puts them in control of their bills, puts them in control of the climate that's around them, and really empowers them and gives them the ability to make choices.
And now, for our previous conversations, I know that you are talking to lots of different people. And as you know from our conversations, I'm a bit of a fan of storytelling. And in the Tardo anthologies, you have an incredibly broad range of people that are in your character list, both who are talking, who you're talking to, but who also are talking for you, whether that is gas professionals, engineers, electricians, smart installers, architects, developers, etc. But also the people at home, as you mentioned, the tinkerers, your favourite group of people, the DIYers, the enthusiastic give-it-a-goers. How do you tailor your approach to such a broad range of audience groups to educate them on the benefit of your product?
That's a really good question. And I know we cast a very wide net here of who we're talking to. And there are fundamental reasons for doing that, because many different areas or many different departments and people themselves are considering, especially right now, given the climate, given the energy crisis that we're facing, they're thinking about energy. So there's not one very specific market that we want to target. There is a wide range of people who will become involved in heating. And, you know, as you mentioned, heating systems, when it comes to controls, can quite often be fitted by an electrician. They can obviously be installed by the gas engineer who's at the property. So those are two already very different channels that we would talk to, but we see a similarity in the work being carried out. And then you're right, you talk about the tinkerers and the as we would class them, as the end consumers. Tardo, over its history, has always focused on the DIY market.
Right.
We've talked to customers about the simplicity of installation and how that we've designed the products in a way that you should be able to fit them yourselves. But my own experience over the last 7, 8, 9 years is that there will always be that element of customer who is comfortable enough to want to try and fit this product, want to try and install it. But there are those who are considering, well, you know, maybe a bit more nervous. It's a boiler I'm connecting to, or there's some electrics involved here and I'm just not comfortable enough. And that's where really the installer or the professional comes into play here. And so that's why we recognize they're really important to our business, because the customer who engages with an installer, they probably, you know, they've got a trust in that installer. That installer will be invited into the customer's home and they'll be talking to them about the benefits of new products, perhaps bringing their system back online. So, you know, if they've been without a heating for a day because of some technical fault, then, you know, this is their savior coming to their home to help reheat their property. So there's a trustability there that, again, we really recognize. And we understand that they're almost like a mini sales team representing your brand if they like your brand. So that's why we're shifting up our message. And then in terms of how do we engage in all of that, well, you know, my background in sales, I'm definitely not an expert in the PR, the marketing side of it, but we have a team on board who look at what kind of messages we use. They figure out how should we talk to an end consumer and what differences would we do when we're talking to a professional. And that's more about perhaps bringing out some of the more technical aspects of the product or the ease of installation for that professional versus the customer, the end consumer might be thinking more around, well, I'm interested in energy savings, and if I install this product, how will this create energy savings for me, and will that have an impact on my bill? But that's what our marketing teams, you know, they specialize in, is understanding that very different base across the audience ultimately we're trying to connect with.
Yeah, and I mean, we call them installers, but actually installing, the physical act of installation, is only part of the story when it comes to the services that customers are seeking. And a large part of it is advocacy, advice, referrals, recommendations. So I suppose being able to engage this group in the benefits of the product, so that, like you said, they're this little army of sales advocates for you out and about, so that if they were at someone's house on a completely unrelated matter, But they recognize the indicators that the customer might benefit from one of your solutions. It's about upskilling their knowledge to be able to recognize, have the confidence to engage in that conversation. Because actually the moment that someone goes, I was speaking for myself, like I think, yeah, I wouldn't know how to install something, but that's kind of the end of the story, really. The moment that I choose to install something, I'd much rather that someone came that said to me, do you know what you could really benefit from is this? So having this on the ground resource available to you must be incredibly important.
Exactly. It really is about the education piece of it. You know, customers hear smart thermostat, and they want to understand, well, what does that mean? What does smart actually mean? And how does that translate into energy savings or creating comfort in my home? You know, me being able to say that I'm in my living room in the evening, it's cold at night, and I'm sitting in comfort. But how does that translate? So that's why we really do spend a lot of time figuring out that messaging to make sure that an end consumer who's thinking about, I'm slightly worried about my energy consumption, or my bills are creeping up, how can I control them? That when they look at the range of products that are on the market, that we can give them very clear messaging to say, if you install a Tado, the potential savings in your house are X available to you. But then when we switch that and we talk about installers, there will be customers who just reach out to an installer who maybe need a new heating system, or their heating system is broken down, and they're looking to their installer to say, make a recommendation for me, tell me, you know, you will be installing smart devices, normal dumb devices, heating systems every day of the week, several times a week. What do you see are the trends? What should we be looking out for? And that's when you really want to have educated the installer to say, okay, first of all, I recognize this brand. I know that this is a German organization that's covering all of Europe with their products. They're prominent in the UK. Their app is highly rated. Their products are highly rated. I can install them right first time for you. And the benefits of having this installed are X amount of savings. So, you know, if you install a smart thermostat from Tado, we average that that each customer should save around 22% on their heating consumption. And if you think about how that relates to an end consumer, that's about £279 per year in the UK that you could save on your energy bill by just installing one of these devices. And so it's about that installer being able to convey that message and make sure that the customer understands it. They are your sales organization in a customer's house.
Yeah. And quite often that communication and that sales advocacy journey started before they've even got into someone's house through their front door anyway. So much we're seeing the use of social media being this incredible asset to, well, all forms of sales and engagement and content creation, but in unexpected ways. And actually, I love seeing some of the content that's being created by the installer community, who just show what a day in their life is like, what problems they've encountered and their recommendations. And they're not only pitching themselves as incredible service providers, but also they are influencers in a way that, you know, if someone says, oh, I want to be an influencer, we have images of teenage girls stressing out makeup in their bedroom. But actually the professional installer community are influencing the market. So they're an incredible, like they have this incredible potential to do more for you guys. It must be really exciting to be able to engage with this community in such a way.
That is a completely new element of social media that we have recognized over the last, I think, between 18 months and 2 years, recognizing that when we talk about the influencer space, I use that term a little loosely, right? Because you're right. We think about influencers and we think about, you know, people taking pictures of their holiday in Dubai, and that's an influence. I think about it much more in the way that you've discussed there, which is about people who are in the field doing a job, but also recognize that there's an educational standpoint or area that they can focus on, and they're utilizing their everyday skills to share their message, their challenges out onto the likes of Instagram and YouTube. We have two partnerships that we've had recently, or reviews, and you know, like, we engage with influencers, we talk to them, we give them ideas as to what we're thinking, and we take their feedback and what they're doing, and try and create a partnership where they might want to install some of our products and talk about the benefits and features. And we're also mindful that we want them to have an open view and position on our products. So, you know, we work together, and we've had two recently in the UK, one in a company called Artisan Electrics, which are an installation business focusing on the electric side of the world. So, they're doing a lot of installations on, they do heating systems and heat pumps and solar panels and EV chargers. And they've recently reviewed our products. And actually what's great is to see the audience that they have, which is made up a lot of fellow professionals who are looking at, okay, well, what have you installed and how have you found it? And that's really great for us because it spreads the message. So, you know, Artisan Electrics, and we had a second one in a company called Plumber Parts, both of them prolific presence online across TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. And so, you know, we've worked with them to make sure that we can spread our own message and talk about our controls and get an honest feedback and honest assessment from a professional in the UK who's interacting with our products and other products throughout every day of their working environment. So that's a whole other angle for us that's really exciting, and it's about just tapping into the niches of those platforms. You know, so, you know, when we use the likes of YouTube, we want an installer, a professional, to talk to other installers and talk about our products. So, yeah, that's been really interesting and really exciting for us. And we're looking forward to future partnerships again in this space. We've identified some other potential influencers, again, used loosely in the sense of the term, but other people that we want to work with within the installation world.
I think it's a fascinating area of content creation and this development of storytelling, because although it feels a bit scary for some people and a bit overwhelming and a bit new, actually it kind of boils down to a really timeless concept, which is, I want to hear what one person thinks about something in a way that I believe, the way that feels authentic and that I trust. And I think especially with some of the bigger factors at play in the industry, well, not in the industry, but in the global discussion, issues of, around the cost of living crisis, energy crisis, which I know are really important considerations for you. I think it's lovely to see that you can have this way of speaking to people in a way that represents real life solutions, because those things must be big conversations for you. Like, what solutions do you guys see as your products offering to these issues, people worrying about juggling costs with this global responsibility to find more efficient ways of creating affordable, sustainable energy? And how do you boil down these very, very big, a bit overwhelmingly scary topics into a way that one person feels like they can have an impact on their own financial situation, and by little by little, the global impact of one person taking the next step?
Yeah, and I think what you've seen over the last 2 years or so, right, is a huge shift in how people have traveled, how they've interacted with each other, how often they've visited their workplace versus being at home. And then in the middle of all of that, we've also had an energy crisis, right, which I think every single person identifies with in their own way. And that could just be as simple as, I'm concerned about my rising bills. I'm concerned about how much energy I'm using in my own home. I'm concerned about the impact of the energy that I'm using on the planet. And so as a brand that cares about the energy customers are using, as a brand that cares about energy consumption, and also trying to make sure that customers feel comfortable in their homes, whichever or however comfortable might mean to each individual person. That could just be, you know, a warm house throughout, or that could be only heating a very specific location because that's where you spend your most amount of time. And that's where our brand really sits firmly in that space. And then it's a case of just really being able to communicate to customers about how they can make small changes inside their household. So again, when you think about a smart thermostat, if you look at a Tado solution, our product, really we have a boiler controller or a thermostat, but then we also have the smart radiator thermostat. So these would typically be known as a TRV, or a thermostatic radiator valve. If you have a gas heating system, you'll see one of these devices probably on the right or left hand side of it. Normally has a dial that has a marker from 1 to 5. That actually translates into temperatures that you might want in your room. But typically most customers would just leave these things as a fixed setting. So maybe a 3 setting in your living room and a 1 setting in a spare bedroom, or 4 or 5 in your kitchen area, however you see fit. A smart version of those means that you can individually control each room, so it can change the flow of water as it moves around your household, which means that, you know, Sophie, when you and I first were chatting, you were telling me about your 2-year-old and your child was taking a nap in another bedroom, and this would have been, you know, some weeks ago, and it was a little colder than it probably is today. But if you go to that example, right, it's about saying to you, what does comfort and what does control inside your house mean to you specifically? Yeah. And that could be you're in your office right now, you're working away, you're in a kitchen space, you're doing your work today, and your little one's having a nap in another room. Well, by having a Tadel system, that means that you could simply have some low-level heat in your area where you're working, but maybe a little bit warmer in your child's room, just so that they're comfortable as they have that, they have their nap. But what it also means is that you could turn off the rest of the house. And so, you know, when it comes back to that question of energy saving and how does a customer make an impact in their own house, once you understand the potential there, that means that you could have 2 other rooms or 3 other rooms where there's no heating on at all. Your boiler doesn't have to work as hard to heat those 2 areas that you want, and that you have that comfort and control that you wanted, right? But without me really explaining all that to you, that, you know, that's where we need, really have to focus on between a customer understanding smart, but really understanding how it plays into their everyday lifestyle.
Yeah. So the personalization, and it's so funny listening to you say that, because I was just thinking about when it was really cold and fighting with my husband to put the heating on, and he was saying, no, because the nursery heats up so much quicker than the rest of the house. As there's me and Ryan, like, kind of 5 layers of socks while she's very toasty. So you're absolutely right. I was thinking, yeah, that would have been great. And I think so much of this comes down to reprogramming human behavior. I know for me, part of a battle, a blocker for me, is the idea of forming new habits. I've very much been guilty of being in the, oh, it'll do, it's fine, we can live with it. I can live with just some extra socks if it means that she's not going to overheat. And I am definitely guilty of sort of things on my life admin to-do list being bumped down because you think, well, they're all right, it's okay to do, and things that could have genuine improvements in my life if I just invested a little bit of brain power tends to slip down that list. So how do you approach breaking people's habit? Because I listen to what you're saying and I think, yeah, sounds incredible, I've got a lot to do. How do you crack breaking habits and make them think about the long-term benefits of just what is actually relatively a sort of quite small but smart, if you'll pardon the pun?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, making fundamental changes to people's habits is a big ask, right? You know, we've all done that classic sign up to the gym with a new membership in January, and by February we've forgotten about it, right? We've moved on to something else because our lives are just so quick in that side side of things. But I hope that smart thermostats take some of the admin out of the way for you. That's ideally what the device should be doing. It shouldn't be creating more workload for you, or for you to sit and have to process it more when you have this device. The idea is that it should take some of that out of it for you. So, you know, when we talked about at the very beginning, a dumb thermostat versus a smart thermostat, well, what I've seen in studies is that the average amount of time that a customer interacts with a dumb thermostat can come out as low as about 4 minutes per year. So that means that a customer typically will set it, you know, they've got this device in their house, they maybe moved it to a new property for the new heating system, or they're just updating the timer. So they set their Monday to Sunday schedules, and that is it. That's the most they have an interaction with it. Now, you and I know, right, life never works like that. It doesn't work to an exact schedule. We don't leave the house at the same time every morning. We don't come back in the evening at the same time. You know, we move around in very different ways. And so when you have a smart thermostat, the fact that you can just have that very quick interaction with it, where you can say, hey, I'm running late home, or I'm leaving early today, and change those settings, that's where the energy saving can come in. And that's where you reduce your bill, because You're not heating a property that nobody's in to benefit out of. You know, you're not turning a heating system on before you actually get home and you can enjoy the temperatures that you've done. And we do have to be very careful of given how expensive energy is that we're really getting the maximum from it now. So that's a part of it. So, you know, I would expect that once you've had a device, a smart thermostat from Tado installed, that actually we should take some of that brain power and that management away from you. And also, we do really think about the features and benefits that we build into it. So here's two examples. For example, one in the home and one when you're leaving the home. One in the home is that we have an open window detection built into the thermostat. So it can actually detect if there is a change in the air around the thermostat or the temperature of that it can actually automatically adjust. So perhaps you've set your temperature in the house to come on, it's a little warmer, and so you've opened the window because maybe I'm looking out my window and I've seen rain, hail, and some sunshine today. So all in the space of a couple of hours, right?
The lovely British weather.
You gotta love the British weather. So all in a couple of hours, we've seen that change. So I've heated up my home. I open a window just to let some fresh air come in. The thermostat should not stay on, so it automatically detects that there's a change in temperature and then switch your heating off so that you're not using excess energy, especially when it's just going straight outside. And then from the outside perspective, we also have a feature known as geofencing, right? That sounds super fancy. Let me break it down. Geofencing essentially is like drawing a ring around your home on a map. And you can decide how big or how small you want that ring. So you could easily say, okay, set this to 1 mile around my property. That means that when you break that ring, that barrier within a mile, it can do one of two things. It can either turn the heating system on because you're on your way home, or it can turn the heating system off because you've left the home. And, you know, how often do we rush out of the house? You know, we want to get to the supermarket and get something done. You leave the property, the heating is still on. Well, there's an automated system that means you don't even have to think about it, right? You can just head off to the shops, go to the gym, do whatever you're doing, and know that your heating system has now turned itself off, and that you know you're not wasting energy when you're not getting the benefit from it.
I love the idea of a virtual tripwire. That's so clever.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
And I think actually having seen how much of an impact the pandemic had on our attitude towards our homes, I don't think I ever took my home for granted. In fact, I know I didn't. I didn't take for granted that I had a safe space. I feel incredibly lucky that I have a safe space to live, especially even more so now that I have a child of my own in it. But I did take for granted that it was my port in the storm. It was sort of my home for me was like bookended the day. It was where I started the day. Then I went off to work, and then it was where I ended the day. And at the weekends, I'd be there a bit more. But, you know, generally, it was my kind of blanket wrapped around myself at the beginning. And then suddenly we were home all the time. Home was our source of entertainment, our workplace, our place that we ate, slept, everything. Everything was under one roof. And I think it's changed our attitude to looking after our own homes, but also how our homes can look after us. How did the pandemic change things for you and for Tado?
Again, really good viewpoint, and I share your sentiments. You know, being at home almost every day of the week throughout that 2 year period, I think it really gave people a sense of perspective on their own properties. I think if you looked at the DIY space and you were looking at retailers, like Screwfix or B&Q or Wix, Toolstation, any of these kind of major players that we would associate with DIY, I think they all saw a huge influx of customers wanting to shop, right? Because travel was really off the agenda for us. So I think we looked around our properties and thought, well, what can we do to make this a better space for me to either live and work in, and, you know, with potentially children around. So it seems like people really thought about their own properties and what they could do there. And then again, look, timing has been everything on this. You know, we are a 10 year plus business, but we're in the middle just now of an energy crisis, and which means that people are really taking seriously again how they've used their energy in their home, you know, turning products on or off. And so I think that's brought energy consumption and energy savings into customers' minds, because they're looking around their property and they're thinking, okay, you know, am I doing a loft conversion? Am I updating the bathroom? Am I fitting a kitchen? Then all of that heating is always really key, right? And again, it comes back to our ethos is around comfort. We want customers to be comfortable in their homes. And that's a very different story for different people, depending on your circumstances. But having an area to be able to work, having an area to be able to decompress after work and feel homely, it has definitely come to the forefront over the last couple of years. In terms of how that's benefited Tado, well, you know, customers are looking at our products and how they can save energy. And it comes back again to being very mindful of your expenditure and being able to reduce your bill. So by fitting a product that might cost you, you know, £200 to fit into your property, but has the potential of saving you £260, has a very quick payback period on it. So, you know, I don't skip over the fact that customers have to invest in our products, and it won't be for everybody. Mm-hmm. It won't be for every single person. But for those that are thinking about it and have the resources to be able to fit a smart thermostat, the benefits are clearly there. We can demonstrate that.
Totally. I think as well, when it first ventured into, or sort of moved from early adopters into mass market, smart home was criticised as being seen a bit of a gimmick. I think I definitely used to think, oh, boys with their toys more, you know, people with their gadgets. To be non-discriminatory, anyone who likes gadgets. It just wasn't me. But actually, more and more, I recognise, and I think mass market and people's attitudes are changing, that the force for good, the potential for improvements to people's physical and mental well-being, their financial stability, the ability to have a tangible impact on things that often feel a bit scary and intangible, like the worries about the planet and worries about the cost of living, crisis of things, being able to offer people a small step, actually, I think is really powerful and really profound. I think that actually the smart home has come of age, or is coming of age, and is increasingly being recognized for not being some gimmicky, flashy plaything of the rich and fabulous, but actually it's something that has the potential to make genuine improvement to everyday people's lives on a small, a micro scale, but also on a huge macro scale as well. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And I think there's varying degrees of smart products, right? And you're right. Some of it will have that gimmicky style aspect to it, but other products will be more serious. And I think if you look at the kind of major standout of products where customers can really engage and see a clear benefit behind them, will be around heating controls. You know, that's really important. Again, going back to the comfort aspect of it and control over your heating system and the fact that you can determine how much energy you're using and stay within your, perhaps your credit agreements of your contract with your supplier, or just making sure that you're utilizing what energy you use as best as possible. But you also then look at products that will come through, like, EV is clearly a very important space. Solar panels are clearly a very important space. There are quantifiable benefits to having those style devices. So it's really cutting through the word of smart and what that means to people and what products fall under smart, right? Because you could talk about smart TVs, smart watches, smartphones, and then you can talk about, you know, voice devices, for example, and where they fit into customers' homes. But I think once you're able to cut through the kind of boys' toys, as you described it at the beginning, the play toys, but get to the more serious products that have clear benefits for customers. You know, if I give you an example of my own situation. So my father's in Scotland, I'm down in the Midlands area, you know, we're 350 miles apart. But every single day I'm thinking about, you know, how is he at home? Is everything okay? Is he warm enough? And with a smart thermostat, I'm actually able to see what's going on inside his household. If that's a consideration for somebody that might be looking after a relative or somebody who's maybe unwell, and you just want to make sure that the basics are taken care of, that's a really nice story, a really nice message for somebody that's maybe thinking about a relative, a partner, you know, somebody that needs a little bit extra care, and being able to make sure that their home is warm enough and that they're are looking after themselves, you know. So those products really stand out for me. It's like heating, and we didn't even then talk about like security and where that sits for customers. Peace of mind, whether it be on your property, inside, externally as well. You know, those are the areas of smart that I think, you know, has all of the growth in it. It has all of the opportunity for customers to really engage with and understand. And then you take away the kind of boys toys aspect that you were potentially mentioning at the beginning of that question.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads me very nicely onto my last question, which I like to end with, because it's, to be completely selfish, my own personal little obsession. And you've sort of gone some way to answering this really in a really beautiful way. But I am obsessed with the idea of connection. The idea of leaving connections to the world around us, connected to something bigger, connecting to each other, connectivity, connectedness, connection, whatever you want to call it. I think the idea that smart technology can help us better connect is something that gives me hope in the world around me and generations to come, especially now having a little person running around who makes me think much more differently about the future than I ever have. What do you see as the role of the smart home to this idea of human connection?
Yeah, and maybe I should have held off on that explanation in the previous answer. That would have been the perfect situation here. But I do just to go back to that discussion, you know, it is about being able to connect with people, whether it be relatives or family members, and whether that's at your own property or somebody else's property. That's where I really do, and you know, that's the part that gives me the warm fuzziness inside, where I think we've created a product, we have a product available that can make a difference in your life, maybe relatives or people that are within your home's lives, but also people that are external from you, right? And I guess what we've been shown over the last couple of years is that very quickly life can change as to how we know it, and suddenly you have to adapt to a new way of connecting, right? So over those last couple of years, video chats for me with family members, I'm sure, you know, we've all done the let's play board games online, you know, when we were locked down over the pandemic.
So those were the days. You know, having an extra person on the call with a camera just positioned over the board game.
We really have all discovered new ways to connect with each other through that difficult period of time, right? Whether that be relatives or family members or friends that are further afield that we've not been able to get on an aeroplane with. So connectivity has meant a lot. But when you dial that all the way down, I think in terms of Furtado's perspective, just being able to give somebody peace of mind that a relative somewhere else is warm, is looked after, hasn't forgotten, you know, maybe unable to set these controls themselves, that you're able to connect to them and be able to assist them within their home. That is a really, really nice feeling around our products.
Absolutely. John Stephen, thank you so much for your time. It has been a pleasure.
Well, thanks, Sophie. I've really enjoyed the chat today. It's been good to discussing these products and everything else in this space over the last couple of weeks that we've got to know each other. So thanks for having me on the podcast.
Pleasure.
That's it for another episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Smart Life. If you like what you heard, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Plus, you can catch all our past episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Here at Beacon, we specialise in finding innovative, people-centric ways to bring the world of the smart home to life. Got a story you need help telling? Get in touch with us today. Visit www.beaconagency.co.uk.